Matt, I'm scared.
Why, Adam?
I'm scared these Wonder Lake boys are going to pull another epic prank and not show up for today's podcast interview.
I guess we'll find out, won't we?
It's showtime. This is The Ski Show, the ultimate show ski podcast, bringing you news, knowledge, in-depth interviews with legends and stars of our sport, and a little bit of fun. Here are your hosts, Matt Heilman and Adam Schaller.
Welcome to The Ski Show. We are the only show ski media on the planet, bringing you news, entertainment, and interviews with the legends. Today is 100% going to be our most entertaining podcast to date. We have five legends from Wonder Lake: Dan Hansen, Jason Richling, Eric Lebda, Jarrett Graff, and Gordo Jordan Schulda joining us today for what is sure to be hilarious and not safe for work. These guys are great friends, great family men, amazing skiers, and they really define living life to the fullest. They live out that mentality in their lives and in their skiing.
Yeah, Matt, this is going to be a good one. I'm not sure what we've gotten ourselves into, but I think it's going to be fun. Today's sponsors are The Board Shop, all your summer and winter board sports, gear, apparel, and accessories. Get yours at bswake.com.
And Flyman Skis, custom-made jump skis and featherboard swivel skis at crazy affordable prices. Get yours at flymanskis.com.
Well, Matt, the season is underway. Teams all over the country have had their first ski shows, and we are off and running for 2021.
Yeah, it's exciting. After a pandemic year, it's cool to be back doing what we love. There's a couple of tournaments just around the bend. The City of Lakes tournament, hosted by the Lake City Skiers in Warsaw, Indiana, is June 19th. And the Mercury Invite, hosted by the Rock Aqua Jays, is June 26th. That tournament only has four teams. It's got RAJ, Mad City, Wonder Lake, and the Aquanuts, but also has two other big events that same day. There's a Flaunted Swivel Pairs tournament, and there's also the Rock River Night Jump tournament, with individual freestyle jump and pairs freestyle jump.
Yeah, sounds like some great tournaments coming up. And I think for the first time in a long time, Matt, we're not dealing with high water.
Oh, thank goodness.
In fact, we're probably dealing with record low water this year. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. But let's not waste any more time and let's get to the meat of today's podcast, our interview with the Wonder Lake boys. Can't wait for this one.
You bet. Let's get to it. All right, well, let's welcome to the Ski Show podcast. We have the gentleman from Wonder Lake. I use that term loosely, but it's going to be a fun episode. We've got Dan Hansen, Jarrett Graff, Jason Richling, Eric Lebda, and Jordan Schulda on the show today. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hola.
What's up, guys?
Who the hell is Jordan? Who is Jordan Schulda?
He's not even technically here right now, so who knows?
Gordo, why don't you start off? How did you get that name, like Jordan Schulda to Gordo? Where did that come from?
So when I skied on the Aquanauts, Anna Gillian kept calling me Gordy. And then Kenny
she
Meyer
know,
was the
she didn't know your real name or what? She just
no, they did. They just kept calling me Gordy just because she wanted to. And then Kenny Meyer thought my name was Gordon because of it. And my mom went up and asked where's Jordan? He goes, who the fuck is that? And she goes, you know, the kid that barefoots? He goes, you mean Gordo? Like, so
that's a different story. Cause I heard it was because you were fat when you were younger.
I was not fat. I'm fat now.
I mean, that's just the rumor going around the beer tent. So, I hope you all have a cocktail. I mean, this is podcast is free for you guys to use any profanity you want, share about your life. We're glad to have you guys here today. So this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, it's not.
No,
bourbon,
I'm way
but
too sophisticated for we'll you guys right tonight. This is way too sophisticated for this podcast.
nothing but beers in our hands.
And let's be very honest about why Heilman is having this podcast is because he's a show director of Mad City and he wants to know how many of you are skiing for Wonder Lake this year. So he's just right, sizing right. everybody up.
All 10 of us.
You guys should all be at practice right now.
Yeah, well, I know that I am because I'm looking to win that Chick-fil-A award yes. this year.
I think you've been nominated, Jarrett. That's great.
What?
All right, well, I'll kick it off. First question, who of you didn't grow up in Wonder Lake?
Me.
Oh, Gordo.
Just Gordo? Myself. Eric did not. Eric grew up northwest suburbs of Chicago. My grandparents bought a house out here in the early 60s. And mom and dad met on the show team. So I was kind of born into it.
Gotcha. Is it true that you have to have some tie to the lake or property on the lake in order to be on the team? Is that how that works?
Yeah, definitely. It may have loosened up a little bit the last couple of years, but it's a private lake. So realistically, you need to have some sort of connection.
Or be voted in.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah,
how did Gordo get in?
He bought a house in Wonder Lake. And he was a good skier.
There's no way in hell we would have voted Gordo in.
You got a girl from Wonder Lake pregnant.
Yeah, so is that's still a thing? Like you have to live on the lake to be on the team, or is that loosened up? Because I mean, you guys seemingly take people from anywhere now.
Well, before we actually owned property on the water, the team, that's kind of where it came from. You had to own water or waterfront property or be on the Wonder Lake. Now that we own the water or property, we're able to sponsor the people that aren't there. So
Wonder Lake is known for this go big or go home mentality. You know, looking at the five of you, you know, I would consider you all risk takers when it comes to skiing. I mean, how did that get started? Like where did this come from?
Dan.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you just kind of had to, we were all about the same age within, you know, a few years, one way or the other. We had some, you know, good peers to look up to, the Hartmans, you know, teaching us all the flips and the jumps and all that stuff. And I mean, to get in, you had to do it. And that we just, I mean, that's where it all came from, is us pushing each other to get better.
Kind of this game of one-upmanship.
Yeah, 100% for sure. Like skiing with these three guys and then Gordo came along later, but like all me, Dan, Eric and Jarrett, we all kind of skied together and, it was definitely motivating to go out and learn something new. You pushed yourself and stuff you didn't want to learn, you had to learn. There's no choice.
How did that spill over? How did that spill over into the T-Max? The, you know, doing seven prefabs and double five highs and all that.
I think it was literally Dan, just like the way we say Dan pushes us. It's everybody's on the side and they just see us hitting the jump and they want to be involved in that kind of atmosphere too. So, you know, they want to be able to push themselves. I mean, it carries down the line.
For Wonder Lake also, we're a family team where if we can do eight different prefabs, that's how many prefabs we're going to do. If we can do, you know, 12 front flips, we're going to probably do 14. So however many things that we can do out there, we just always are pushing to put them all out there.
Yeah. I mean, everyone definitely works hard all throughout the summer. And I mean, we're not ones to say, no, you can't go. It's nationals. Like, I mean, if you've made it and you've been at practice, you're going to do it and be ready.
It's, it's nationals, it's go time, right? And when it comes to Wonder Lake, everyone's just pushing to go and go and go. When it comes to Mad City and Janesville, they're like, oh, scale back, scale back, scale back.
Yeah, and there's the tag on to those guys, you know, you spend all summer, you know, beating the crap out of yourself, literally, figuratively, you know, and then you're going to scale it back and on the biggest stage. And, you know, that's the people aren't there to see what you can see at any ski show. You know, they're coming there, you know, to see something new. And like I said, why tone it back on the biggest stage? You know, you honed it all summer long, you know, you got to lay it out there.
Let's use honed as a loose term, because we never really honed anything.
What does honed mean? I don't even know.
That's too big of a word for some of you. Yeah, I mean, I love that philosophy because, and you guys have had the talent to go with it. So like when you put numbers and talent and that philosophy together, it's often spectacular. It's spectacular and good. It could also be spectacular in bad ways, but it's always spectacular. It's
awesome. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been some bad spectaculars.
Yeah.
And being that smaller team from Illinois, you know, you had to do it. You know, if you wanted to be up there, you had to lay it out there. Otherwise, you know, the Mad Cities and the Janesvilles of the world are going to walk all over you.
Can't let that happen.
Well, none of us here are young pups anymore. Is the next up and coming generation at Wonder Lake kind of the same mentality?
Our daughters are. We all have daughters actually on this podcast. Eric doesn't have kids that we know of right now, but we all have daughters. We have nothing but daughters.
Gordo's definitely the only one with kick ass.
Are you scared that they turn out like you guys?
Oh, they already are. Chance. They already are.
Too late.
Yeah, I would not awesome. Be shocked if the first female triple gainer involves all three of these girls.
That's awesome. That'd be awesome. Well, speaking of Rish, one of today's sponsors of the podcast is The Board Shop, of course. Right. And we got owner Jason Rischling here. And we're going to let him tell you a little bit about what's going on. But Rish, what do you got rolling at The Board Shop? What can people get? What do you got going this spring and summer?
Yeah, so we're a full year round pro shop and we cater towards pretty much everything water sports. We do give a discount to every single show skier out there. So if you guys ever, we have discount codes to our website, bswake.com. And if you guys can't find our website, call us and we give you a discount there. That's pretty much a given. We always give show skier discounts for sure. Everything from jump skis to wakeboards to water skis to barefoot suits, you name it, we have it. We really try and support show skiing number one and support every other aspect of the water sports. So we're definitely in it to do what we can to support you guys, and in turn we hope you support the shop. That's important to me, and hopefully it's important to you guys. So.
Yeah. Thanks, Rich. I mean, we've said it before on this podcast and we'll say it again. Just as Jason said, The Board Shop has all of your summer and winter gear, and you can get everything you need at bswake.com. That's bswake.com.
Yeah. This is Jared. I'm going to jump in quick here too. Speaking of The Board Shop, our team has a junior club. And this summer with everyone's financial burdens, teams and everything, our junior club was only going to be able to practice on Thursdays, and Richlings and The Board Shop stepped up, paid for the whole gas for the summer for us to add Tuesday practices for our junior club. So yeah, they do great things for Wonder Lake. And I mean, everybody who wants it.
That's awesome. Awesome stuff. Well, let's segue here. You guys have won some national championships. Wonder Lake's won 5. Your first was in 1996, and I remember that one because that was the entry paperwork snafu. You had to ski first on Sunday at 7 a.m. You made t-shirts that said 7 a.m. on Sunday. You packed the beach, the stands for that show at 7 a.m., and you stomped it. You guys kicked ass. You won a national championship. I still remember aspects of that show. I remember Jarrett and Jim Aberle doing their barefoot trick run. I remember some amazing stuff in that show. How many of you skied in that show? You guys were younger then. talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I definitely remember that. Still actually gives me chills talking about it. That was a really, really good experience. I remember being on the dock. We did 5 staggered prefab pyramids that show. And I was in the jump back right after that. So I was standing on beer tent dock and seeing those go off. Like, you'll never forget that. That was definitely a cool experience. And then, like you said, the whole aspect of almost not making nationals that year, that was huge. That was a good experience for sure. Anybody else?
Yeah, I think Jared's got a really good story from that show. if you can remember it.
You wrecked yourself on a one ski gainer, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. That was 96. I got smoked at a double one ski gainer. And
worst I've ever seen.
And I mean, speaking to what Richling was saying, I remember being on the back dock, so behind main dock, and I was doing a wakeboard act. So there must have been some sort of montage where I wasn't in the prefabs, and watching the 5 or 6 staggered come off from behind the backdrop, I could just see 1 head, 2 head, 3 heads, 4 heads, all of them make it, and starting to cry. I mean, on back dock, those went off, did a couple more acts, knocked myself out. Definitely cried after the show. I didn't know why. I just was, I got knocked silly, but finished the show.
You did fucking sissy crying after the show. What the fuck?
I mean, you guys must have known you had something special that year, though. I remember the preseason tournament in Wausau, Wisconsin. You guys came and skied at that year because Mad City did too. And you guys got done with that show. And I told people around me, I said, they're going to win nationals this year. And you guys hadn't won it to that point, but seeing you at Wausau, I was like, these guys are good. These are guys are legit.
That year was like a perfect storm, though. Like, it was all of us we all grew up together, obviously, right? But we all kind of reached that point to where, like, we became decent skiers at that point. So I think that was kind of a good year where, like, we kind of made things happen that year. That set us off until now, right?
96. I was 12 years old. I was still topping barefoot pyramid.
Wow.
96 was my first year in a national tournament. So, you know, to win that first one, especially going in, like you said, with the paperwork snafu, jumping through all the hoops, not really having, you know, we knew we had a good show, but didn't go in with any expectations. But then to hear your name called last, man, like these guys said, goosebumps still.
Yeah, I mean, a few years before that, we probably got last place. I mean, we were definitely that for a long time. And then I think in 95, we got 5th. So we broke into that top 5 where you would get an actual trophy. Mm-hmm. And that was a big deal. And then 96, we all grew up and kind of got good at the same time and were able to, you know, add to the numbers that the team was, you know, growing to.
Eric was 12 years old that year. That's crazy. I remember him at 10 years old at the old ski team beach, crying to his mom every freaking day.
Because Jason was picking on me because Gordo wasn't there yet.
Yeah. Eric, how old are you?
I just turned 37.
So I'm 33. So I wasn't even in water skiing yet at that point in 96. I didn't start until 99. So you're 37. So I was... You were 12. I was 9.
You would have been on top of our barefoot pyramid then for sure.
Yeah. And being made fun of.
My math says you were 8, but that's fine.
Eric, you never fell on Dan and I doing a barefoot pyramid ever.
Never.
I still regret that.
Yeah.
We see that that 96 year, speaking of Dan and Jared Barefoot Pyramids, we have an epic picture for one that I still use as a Facebook profile picture. But if you remember in Wausau, the storms that came in that year, and I mean, we almost didn't even ski. So I remember that opening act, that opening BFP. I mean, we weren't wearing helmets or life jackets at that point. There's trees floating down the river. I mean, Dan and Jared are separating, you know, dodging logs. And I'm not very nimble, I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing down there? You know, just like you said, good memories.
Thank God you had somebody under you. You wouldn't fall.
So 96 was really kind of start of the run. I mean, you guys have really been, you know, top contender ever since, right? I mean,
I think 96 was a good year. 90, I think it kind of started in 94. I remember Dan Jarrett and I for sure. I think we were doing flips and gainers, kind of learning at that point. But 94 was kind of a starting year. And then it took about 3 years to really progress into what it was. So, but yeah, 96 was definitely a starting year for like the whole team and everything for sure. And it kind of progressed after that, obviously.
Yeah, because the jumpers, I believe, they won on that the highest scoring jump back in 95, I believe.
What was that jump we did? What was that crisscross before the jump, guys?
The quarantine.
Fucking yeah. Quarantine, 2020 quarantine, right? Should have brought that back last year.
Yeah.
So. Lasky right. Was ahead of his time.
So raise your hand if you're a Skip Gilgerson winner.
Go ahead. Nobody's going to fucking see this, Adam.
I know. I'm going to narrate it. I'm going to narrate it. Good thing, because y'all got faces for radio. So, we've got Rich Jarrett, Dan, all Skip Gilgerson winners. I didn't raise my hand. Obviously, Matt didn't raise his.
Hey, Gordo and Eric, did you guys win one yet?
I'm a team
player, buddy. I go for the team awards.
You guys get a hard time for that, not winning?
No. Yeah, my brother won it. He doesn't deserve shit.
No, because you know us as well as anybody. You know, we're not there to ski for ourselves. We're there to ski for the beer tent. That's about it. You know, all those extras are, you know, the extra individual awards are, you know, they're nice, but not why we're there. You know, we're there to, you know, have a good time.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I was there to win Skip.
That's why he hasn't won it yet. No, we're with Eric on that comment for sure. It's all about the beer tent and the crowd. Nothing against the judges, but like we're there for the crowd. And that's what it's about. 100%. It's show skiing. That's what it's about. It's not about a score sheet or anything else. It's about the crowd.
That's exactly why you did a 100-foot one ski front off a kicker and almost landed on the sand, and now there's rules about it.
That was awesome, actually. I was so proud.
Does anybody remember when he was at Aquanauts and he went from the jump and landed at the actual dock? It was like 130 feet.
Yeah,
nuts. That was a booter.
Nuts. Well, yeah, you guys had
a couple of rules made after Wonder Lake here.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Dan's got some. Don't land. Dan, what's yours?
I don't know. It might be landing a little bit shallow and towards the center stage.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah, that might have happened. But you just go down on your knees and nobody knows that you're standing in.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's easy. Well, you guys have had some of the most
George.
Go ahead.
Can't toe like somebody barefooting around the jump.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Gordo, shut the fuck up.
We're moving on. So, speaking of some of that, though, you guys have had some of the most memorable acts in show ski history. We talked about the prefabs, and that act grew and has morphed over time. You did, you know, 5 straight, 5 staggered, 6 straight, 7. You did the dock split, the backbreaker act with Dan Hansen. I mean, he decides to put on a climbing harness and says, I'm going to do a flyer and tow you guys off the dock. How do those things evolve? And who's the catalyst for awesome ideas like that?
Dan.
Captain Morgan.
Yeah. Captain Morgan. Yeah. Dan, you got some insight on the backbreaker stuff, right? Where that all started.
You know, the backbreaker, it definitely is a fun looking act when you come into the stage or the show course and you're pulling somebody or whatever. But the payoff has always sucked. So you always want to bring it back to center stage. So that's what we did. You ski it back to center stage. maybe have a couple extra buddies with you every now and then, but y'all make it back to center stage, right?
Well, that's the thing. Nobody else could do it, right? Everybody, anybody could pull somebody over the jump and then, you know, drop in the corner. And like you said, it's anticlimactic. Like, you know,
have we all skied behind Dan?
Yeah, I think Dan, I think he beeped us up off the dock. Yeah, that, I mean, it's probably 300
feet. He did a flyer off the dock and pulled you guys off the dock.
Plus, he came around and did a hot pickup.
Yes, and he did a hot pickup one year, too.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That year, nationals practice. Yeah, Dan, you know, conventional backbreaker off the dock, brought me around, did a two-ski gainer. Then we go into a second circle, and Jason comes in blind behind a second boat. And we actually, he actually whipped on. I had two handles in my hand the whole time. Rish whips on, we hit the ramp again, and he brought it all the way back to the beach.
If you guys don't do that in your show this year, damn.
We did it in nationals. There was a timing issue.
Dan hit a stern roller.
Oh man, I've never seen literally the silhouette of Dan going through the wave.
So. Oh, that's good.
You didn't want to talk to Dan for about 2 hours after that. He was pissed off.
Yeah, we definitely. We nailed that in practice, and we had only tried it a time or two at home, which our home lake is clearly nothing like. It's more Mad City than Janesville. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we had a great plan. I was the driver pulling the first circle off the dock and doing that, and just timing. I mean, it's tight there. It's completely different. And I remember the same thing, looking in the back mirror, like, oh geez, where's Dan? Just like this, and he's still holding on. I mean, the rope's still tight. But
yeah, man, that one we did in practice, you know, you're coming at the ramp at 40. I'm waiting for Rish to grab the handle. You know, it got to a point where I was just like, forget it. I tossed the handle, you know, come around on a two-ski gainer, and I didn't even know Rish was even still there until I landed and looked over, and here's Rish coming down from a front flip. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, got the handle right before the jump. That's right.
Oh, that's awesome. You're intense.
All right, we're going to rapid fire some questions at you. Adam and I are going to kind of go back and forth. We're going to hit you with a kind of a who is the most likely to, and you guys are going to say which one of the five of you fits this description. And it's going to be fun. All right. So who is the biggest prankster?
Jason.
Rish.
What the fuck is that shit?
But you win. Maybe not congratulations.
The biggest,
all right.
The worst.
That's you not get true. An award. Yeah. Biggest prankster, Rish. All right.
Who's most likely to ski after dark or in the dark?
Dan.
Well, no, Dan, Dan's Dan. More of a driver. Dan. I think he's more of a driver. He's pulled more than I can remember.
All right. Well, so then segue, who's most likely to ski naked?
Damn.
Has or will?
Both. Yeah, that's a, that two questions right there, right?
Right.
Has on
us. Lake did pull off a pretty epic naked four high.
Wow.
As people still talk about to this day.
That's not your Facebook profile pic, is it?
No. Pyramid was my family and we worked it out. Nobody even had to touch each other.
Yeah, you guys are so inbred there. That's like all your sisters and cousins in one naked pyramid.
Yeah, right. We're all what, 7 degrees to Dan Hansen or something.
Or at least to a Hartman.
Next question. Who has the hottest wife?
Gordo.
Dan. Jarrett.
Oh.
Jordan.
Who is most likely to offend a Democrat?
Dan.
I don't know. Gordo might be in that realm.
I think me.
I think Gordo. I'm picking Gordo.
I think that'd be me, but I'm not really into politics, so I just like pissing people off.
Best tournament skier.
Jason.
Rish.
Dan.
Dan.
Not Eric.
Wow. Shots fired. Shots fired.
I knew it was coming.
Wow. All right. Biggest head case on the water.
Eric. Are you fucking Gordo. Serious? Eric. Do you even need to ask that?
Eric
Gordo.
Fuck, no, I'm not. I'll be where I need to be. I'm always good.
Except for on time.
That doesn't matter. They didn't ask that.
Yeah, on time.
They didn't ask that. They said, who's the biggest head case? Not on time.
All right. Most naturally talented skier.
None of you fucking pussies.
Sure.
That's a hard one. I think all of us.
I mean, Rish works hard. He skis more than any of us, but he was good early.
Yeah, I saw Jared take 10 years off of front flips and never really be even consistent in front flips and jumps out in the middle of a five-man and just starts knocking them out.
That was fun.
Just knocking them out. Like,
that just sounds lucky to me.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. Sure. I got good at him for like 1 week straight again. 1 week on. 5 years off.
And I think that was the same day he goes out, he makes four or five five-man flips and then snaps his leg on a two-ski gainer.
Yeah. Wasn't long after that.
Oh, that sucks. Most likely to not show up for practice and not tell the show director.
Me. Ding, Gordo. Ding, ding, Gordo.
And Aaron.
We've been trick skiing every Friday with me, Gordo, Jared Meyer and Brian Petrini, and it was me and Gordo for like the first 2 weeks, and Gordo showed up 7 o'clock on the dot, and then Jared Meyer and Petrini show up the next 2 weeks and Gordo doesn't show up for like 45 minutes. And it was
Wait,
windy Fridays.
My daughter missed the bus. My thing in the morning is
my kids are on the same fucking bus.
My daughter missed it. She missed the bus.
And the next week you're like, my daughter, she's waiting for the bus. I'm like, my kids got on the bus 45 minutes ago.
Dude, I sit
Bullshit.
There. I have a camera. You can see it.
Oh, okay. Best beer tent shit talker.
Rish. Man.
Fuck you.
Dan or Rish. I think Dan or Rish.
What right. is that? What, a couple years ago when you wrote Wonder Lake next to every Nationals winner on some board?
Oh, yeah. He was so fired up about RAJ's barges, presetting the barges.
I was not.
That was Jacob. Jacob was fired up.
That was Jake Wilson. That was not me. And I was doing that to be funny because you were sitting there laughing about it. And then everyone got their panties in a wad.
It was funny for all of us.
Oh, that was good.
Except, I don't know. I have a picture of you standing with Roger Olson,
I love
and
Roger.
Gary Lighting, and one other official just talking about this for like 15, 20 minutes.
These guys were yelling at me the whole time. Jesus. Yeah,
it was a joke.
No, it was good. It was a joke, but it, nice. It was a joke. I love you guys. I love those guys. I love everybody.
Good. Well, most likely not to buy something from the board shop.
Eric. Oh, you motherfuckers, not buying anything from the board shop. I'll kill y'all. Slit your fucking wrists.
That's how you run a business, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just kidding. No, oh my gosh, this is recorded right now, isn't
Speaking
it?
Of-
no, I love you guys.
You don't buy something from the board shop. You will hear about it. You will know and you will hear about it.
Most likely to still be skiing in the show when they're 50.
Well, Jay, how
rich is this?
I'm 34, dudes. I get a long time. Actually, honestly, guys, we should all be there, but we'll all be skiing in a show when we're 90. That's my goal.
Yeah,
I'll be
we're all gonna
skiing
be
in a show when I'm 90.
Nice. With our kids.
I have no intentions of quitting. You guys shouldn't either.
Absolutely.
Love that attitude. That's awesome. Most likely to die doing something stupid.
Gordo.
Gordo. All right.
Gordo just raised his hand.
Gordo's stupid, so Gordo.
Well, so remember stupid talk, right? Remember when
you just rolled your quad. You're stupid.
No, it's a side by side. And I didn't roll it. It tipped
over by itself.
Yeah. The wind
quickly tipped over.
All right. Most sensitive.
Gordo.
Eric.
Yeah. Rick. Gordo, yeah. Or Eric. Eric.
You can only take right. So many years of abuse.
Yeah, I mean, he was.
You're going to snap and go postal. All right.
Keep it in for so long.
Last one. Best teammate.
None of you guys. You're all assholes.
I'll tell you what. I say Dan, and I'll tell you why. Because no matter if you could do something or not, Dan, like, made you believe, and maybe for his own benefit, but made you believe you could totally do it. Like,
I was trying to kill you, Gordo.
Oh, well, I tried.
I'll second that, Gordo. I'll second that for sure. Definitely Dan. I bought a goddamn wingsuit because of Dan. It didn't work. Yet.
It'll work. You got to go on a diet. These guys.
In all honesty, I take any one of these guys. You know, they're any one of them is going to push you to be a better skier. Even Gordo, if he's there.
That's awesome.
Exactly, man. These guys are awesome. I mean, in our, you know, not only just having our all of our Wonder Lake experiences, but what we were able to do on Worlds together, and
yeah,
you know, all those years. Like, yeah, I mean, we're definitely a tight crew, and you know, hopefully we do keep pushing each other past 50 and plus.
You will. We got more we're gonna hit here. That was the end of our rapid fire. Good stuff. That was hilarious. All right, Adam, let's talk about Flyman Skis. They're once again doing huge things in the ski industry. They're committed to helping grow our sport on a grassroots level, and they're doing things like sponsoring freestyle jump events. They are the sponsor for the Rock River Night Jump that's coming up, and it's great to see them out there supporting skiers.
Yeah, these skis are made by skiers for skiers. They take meticulous care to make sure that skiers have the best possible product on their feet. Whether it be jumping or swivel skiing.
Yeah, they have custom-made jump skis and featherboard swivel skis for all shapes and sizes, and they are affordable. Skiers everywhere are making the switch to Flyman Skis. Get yours at flymanskis.com. That's flymanskis.com. All right, so Jarrett alluded to it. Well, we had a beer break here.
I think everybody's Richling, are you taking
Richling
a pee
taking
right
a
now?
Leak? Jesus Christ. God. Richling's taking a leak. Dan and Jarrett got their beers refreshed.
It's the first, Rich. You're the first one to pee on the podcast.
Well, he's the oldest. Oh.
First one.
You gotta make t-shirts that say that. Pee on the podcast.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. You all have been on Team USA, which honestly, you think about it, it's pretty amazing. Five dudes, same team. You guys are like in the top 1% of all show skiers in the world. What are your favorite memories from competing on Team USA?
Which year? I love when Dan, after we won and Stevens Point, and Dan almost got us kicked out of the
Wisconsin.
Rapids.
Wisconsin Rapids.
No, like all of Wisconsin.
Oh, all of Wisconsin.
No, yeah, Wisconsin. Dan almost got us kicked out of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the rest of you? Team USA memories or moments?
Yeah, I mean, I know we weren't all there for the first one, but holy crap, that was, I mean, something I'll absolutely never forget. I mean, meeting all these new people who you've heard of and seen ski, maybe not, putting it together, and man, that was fun. Like, I mean, I was lucky enough to do 12, 14, and 16, and 2012. I mean, never forget that, landing on the beach, that first double top four high. You know, that was intense.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Feel like you're trying to dig a story out of me, Isleman.
I think one real quick though. I think the best thing for any of us that have had multiple years together. It was during the practices when we were trying to figure out whatever, all five of us could literally, they were like, well, what do you want to do? And there was never a question about where you wanted us. All of us just jumped in where we had to be. And that was honestly, for me, being part of the Wonder Lake crew was the best thing. It's just, there was never a question. There was never like, no, I can't do that. It was just, where do you want me? All right, cool.
Yeah, that was and it. Actually, it was awesome as a show director working with you guys for the first time in those years. And the way you guys, every one of you jumped in as a leader, you helped out immediately. Where can I help? What can I do? And the other amazing thing was your chemistry on the water was second to none. We had these ideas for Jump Act, and then some things would fall apart, and we're like, fuck it, put in the Wonder Lake triple gainer. And right. Without practice, the Wonder Lake triple gainer goes and all day long, that that's a jump we can score all day. Like, we have these other ideas, but like when it's all going wrong, we're going to put you guys out and you're going to do your thing.
Right. Yeah, that was awesome. And I got to drive that. So I got to pull, Gordo, Jason, and Eric on something we did all the time. I mean, it wasn't even a question. Just
and then you throw Depot and I get kicked the shit out of.
I remember 2012 and seeing the show lineup like months before, and you guys wrote Dan towing me around doing a flip and stuff, and then you guys had Jerry Lighting in there too, doing a heli behind him, and I'm like, there's no freaking way we're doing a hangman, like you guys are freaking nuts. That's not gonna happen. Well, clearly it happened, but. That was a really good experience. We practiced at Rockford during the week. We practiced at Rockford, and Rockford's jump was in quite a bit further. So when you take off the dock, the stern roller is perfect timing to hit the jump ramp when we're just hitting the jump. And I was supposed to be jumping over Jerry behind Dan when he was footing. And I remember just riding by like three times in a row, just seeing Jerry just freaking getting smoked. It was awesome. Sorry, Jerry. I love you, dude. But it was awesome.
He just kept getting and back he up. Just, and
oh, man.
It was awesome.
He just kept on going at it like over the stern roller. And he didn't know if I was coming over him or not. But he was committed. And he just ended up blowing out his knee, I think.
You guys but were money crazy, on that. You guys were money on that in the show though, when it came back to the beach, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that was so all said and done. That was the coolest experience that I've had for the whole world sing for sure. That was really cool. And actually when we made it in the show, Jerry had a blown out knee and he still charged it and did it. Yeah. So that was cool.
He's had blown out knees since like 72.
Well, he is 72, so
that sticks out for me is getting a phone call from Dave Raisin 5 a.m. Central Time the day before Florida practice, asking me if I wanted to ski, represent the country. And I told him, what do I have to do? Like, be here Friday morning.
Get on a plane, dude.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I work in Chicago. All my gear's up in Wonder Lake. I'm working with one hand, phone in the other hand, Got to give credit to my brother. He's running around, shagging all my gear. Got on a plane. Think that night I got on a plane 11, 12 o'clock. Gordo picked me up in Florida 4 a.m.
I was shit-faced.
Literally. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
So yeah, get to practice. I no sleep. 2 days no sleep. First words Matt tells me is, grab your skis, you're throwing mugs. Like, what the fuck? And yeah, So get on the dock. Here's Scotty Clack in the boat. Scotty does a 100-foot mob. I maybe do a 65-foot mob. And
64.
Yeah. But just like I said, you get out there, you feed off these guys' energy. I was money that morning.
I remember coming
back to the dock and asking Scotty Clack for tips, and he's like, dude, you're making it, you're good. And that was the day I, never listened to, anyone giving me shit again.
Hey, oh, no. Gordo, how did yours go?
2 tippins in a row.
You did by myself at that practice. Yes.
No, oh, sorry, Gordo.
2 tippins by myself and a single gainer, and then a tippin and a double gainer. It was the most tippins I've ever had in my entire life. I looked at Dan and he goes, "You might want to go take a break." And I was like, "Yeah, good idea." Sucked. I did not like that.
Gordo gets done driving like 20 hours down to Winter Haven, jumps out of the car and he's like, "Let's take a jump set." Boom, dip in. Two in a row. Back to reality.
All right, let's get to it. Now it's time to talk about all the shenanigans happening down in Wonder Lake. You know, we already talked about who's the biggest prankster. All right, now's your chance. I want to hear it. Let's hear the best ones.
What's your legendary prank? Dude, how much time you got?
I mean, there's no pranks whatsoever. None.
Yeah, Gordo, you start.
Well, it's because all of them are on me.
Exactly.
Which one? So I just bought my house and it's right it's like November, like right before December. And all of a sudden I have just the most graffitied toilet and I'm on a corner lot in like the corner of the lot that everybody could see. There's the most absurd obscenities. There's swastika, everything on it. It is horrible. So I let it be for like a day, just be like, you know, I don't care kind of a thing. And then I forgot and didn't give a shit. And then, I go to pick it up and it's fucking frozen to the ground and I was pissed and then it snowed. So I was like, well, I can't break it because this needs to go to somebody else's yard. Like we have to keep this going on. So I left it there for about a month. And then my wife goes, "You really got to get this thing out of the yard. So I didn't know who to give it to because almost everybody had it. So I gave it to Steve Nelson, Tyler Nelson's dad. And Kelly called me and goes, "If this isn't out in about 5 minutes, you will be screwed." And I was like, "I'm not dealing with her. She's nuts. I'm not doing it.
So Isn't there also something about a snowmobile on top of a truck, Gordo?
No, I was on my trailer. They thought it was fun. Well, so they put my snowmobile on top of a trailer. I just lifted it up and it slid off. They, Jamie O'Connor broke his elbow or wrist or something because they were running away because my neighbor caught him like fucking around with something. I had a couch. I went down fishing in Lake Erie and they put a fucking couch in the middle of my driveway and my wife couldn't pick it up because it was a sleeper and she had to miss work for 2 days because I wasn't home. I was on the phone like, "You motherfuckers better get this shit out of my fucking driveway before I kill somebody." I did take off the boat.
Well, there's a few driveway stories.
There's a bunch. Oh, that's why I said how much time you got. I did take Paul Quesada's. I took Paul Quesada's truck and trailer after they fucked with me and towed it all the way out of his driveway. It was in park, out of his driveway, down the road as far as I could get before
the neighbor called the cops on you.
I pulled Jason's meter socket.
Wasn't there some with a sand pile? Brett, garage door.
Oh my God.
There was a garage door. There was a garage door incident. We had a party at Brett's house. Brett loved to. And one night, Paul Weiler was like, "Hey, dude." And nobody's ever heard this part, that Paul Weiler was actually involved and was the ringleader in this whole situation. So Paul Weiler, you're fucking busted, jackass. So anyways, Paul's like, "I know how to reprogram his garage code." So we go up there, reprogram Brett's garage code. And Paul didn't run with it. I ran with it for like 2 years. It was awesome.
Programmed the garage code to his truck.
Yeah. It was on my truck. So I take a jog when I was going to work, block over, and I drive past Brett's, and this lasted about 2 years. It was good. I'd open his garage door every day, and sometimes somebody would be in the garage or like just backing out or something like that, and they didn't find out it was me until, it was almost 2 years. It was crazy. I'd hit the button and see the garage door open and I'd be crying to myself. I would physically be crying to myself for like about a year and a half. And then I'm like, I can't keep this a secret anymore. I have to tell people this is just too damn funny. And then I started telling a couple of people, and then a few people narked me out, which I know who they are, and they're dead. They're dead.
The best was is you got Paul Weiler back too for.
I never got Paul back. Out. I never got Paul back.
Yeah, you did. You put water on his driveway, and he's on a hill.
No. Never.
Chris, did you cut down a tree over somebody's driveway?
Yes.
His neighbor.
He was a son of a bitch. Yes, I did.
It just things are so innocent. They escalate so quickly.
Why are you guys focusing in on me right now? Dan has a thousand freaking
we'll Dan in here
pranks, you know, right now.
We pull Dan. a little prank on Dan. You know, it's so minor, I don't remember what it was.
We toilet papered his yard. Man,
the next morning, we come out in the garage, and there are big, giant dicks, silicone, on every windshield in the driveway. And I don't know if you've ever smeared silicone on your windshield, but apparently glass is porous. So even though you clean the silicone off, every time it would rain and those wipers would hit that spot, you'd have a giant penis right in front of your face. And like, it was so bad. It was to the point where you couldn't even trade in your car when it was raining, because it was unmistakable. You know, all the houses.
Brett actually tried to trade his car in?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And me too. I had my, he did it to me. Did he do it to you, Eric?
Yeah, my Grand Cherokee, Brett's Range Rover. Oh, my truck. God. The whole house, every window in the house had silicone on it.
Jokes on that.
Lovely messages.
Did you ever fucking fuck with a fucking fuck?
Then we lawn jobbed the shit out of them and went back the next day like, sorry. We didn't mean it. Had to fix his grass up for a week.
I was more scared of my life when Adam told, or Brett, or when we did donuts in Brett's first truck in the yard. I was so scared. I was like, he's going to fucking murder us.
Yeah.
It's coming. You're still here, but it's coming.
Did you guys decorate Brett's office at the restaurant?
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
Where did you get that from?
Where did you actually hear about that?
I have sources. Party, was it not?
Wow.
Was that Team USA party?
Yeah, Doc Hopper's the Team USA.
Yeah.
Who was involved in that?
Are you looking at me?
I didn't. What else?
The best was when Dan was smart enough. So Dan's like pranks are so methodical. Like they're so well thought out that no matter how hard you think about, like you're like you can't get out of it. Like the best was when he took Brett's Jeep and he put it on the back step and tied all the door handles together so you couldn't get out of it.
That was actually tied to his toe. He was in bed.
I'm not you guys kidding. Have done stuff to people in bed too, haven't you? Done crap to people's bedrooms while they're sleeping?
Didn't we put you out in the middle of the lake in the car bed?
If Missy and Lauren Bernstein are listening, they're probably waiting for one to come out. They had the pleasure of joining us on a China trip.
We had the pleasure of joining them.
Yeah, I guess.
Or Mad City.
I mean, they had to sleep on the floor the whole week because somehow Dan would finagle their room card and steal all their furniture and move it into his room. We're talking.
Didn't sleep on the floor because the floor was soaking.
He didn't even leave them the shower cap. You know, man, pillows, blankets, mattresses, the whole nine. It was, rough trip for them, I'm sure.
I think Dan's developed such a reputation that people. He can say something and they'll fear that he will do it, even if he's not going to do it.
Yeah, you got to be careful. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you never know if he's serious.
No. What'd you just say, Matt?
I got one for you, Dan, though. Do you remember?
No.
You do. It was when Mad City won nationals in like 2009. You had threatened for months that you're coming to the banquet. You're like, we're crashing that fucking banquet. We're coming to your awards banquet. We're coming to Madison. And I was like, fuck, no way. They're not coming to our banquet. And I wish, in hindsight, I wish you would have, because that would have been a freaking epic party.
But in hindsight, nothing. I have that text saved also. I just got to come up with something. You were adamant about me not coming to that banquet.
I know. And
pleading for mercy.
Now we've all grown up, and like I'm like, damn, that would have been fun, man.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. That would have been way better. Hey, tell me who burned all Patterson's freshly split firewood.
Not me.
The doorbell just rang. I gotta go.
Dan, it wasn't Dan. No. Dan didn't do it. He just made sure nobody got hurt.
I was honestly on safety patrol. Right. I was watching a fire.
No, nobody here did it. I believe it.
It was done without ill intent. I will tell you that.
Dan, I do want to know about the jump off the Memorial Bridge in Janesville. What was the thought process and what was the result?
Let me chime in on that.
There was no thought process.
No thought process for sure. And the result was really bad.
Well, the thought process was he did it once. He thought he could do it again. Oh man, the first time he jumped off, him and Brett both jumped off. Dan, like Greg Louganis in the Olympics. Brett, like a drunk chick on spring break. Like, oh my God. So he survived the first one where, you know, he's like, we're doing it again. Like, no, Dan, don't do it. You know, you got away with it. So I remember he kept trying to sneak out. I was trying to keep tabs on him. So I caught him sneaking out and I hit it behind a row of cars, and he started running up Memorial Bridge, literally looking behind him, and I blindsided him. He ran over me like I wasn't even there. I felt like I got hit by a linebacker. At that point, I was like, forget it. He jumps and breaks his tailbone, has to sit on a donut for 6 months.
I remember that. I'm like, why is Hansen sitting on an inflatable donut?
Yeah.
It was only 6 weeks.
It was a flesh wound. Just a flesh wound.
What was worse, sitting on a donut then or wearing readers now?
Yeah. But wasn't that sitting on a donut like right before one of the worlds as well?
Yeah.
That was at nationals leading up to worlds.
We won nationals in 16 with Dan's killer show.
Yeah.
And then we took that same show pretty much to worlds.
Yeah, that's right.
I had to suck it up.
Dan sat out a donut.
He was the man. Yeah. Well, let's wrap up today. I want to wrap this up. You know, as you guys have, aged a little bit, as we all have, it's evident that you guys are amazing. Asian.
Fuck you, motherfuckers.
Hold on. You guys are amazing family men. And maybe even you've mellowed out a little bit. But there's not going to be any shortage of fun and excitement in your world. And I love that about you guys. You guys live life to the fullest. You are great friends, brothers, comrades, family men. You know, is that something that you guys pride yourselves on? And are you scared at all that your children are going to have the same streak of shenanigans that you have?
I always ask my kids, what am I scared of? And they say, I don't know, Dad, what are you scared of? Fucking nothing. Just kidding. No.
I mean, I think we've all had so much fun that, yeah, some of the stories scare us for our own kids, but man, if they could have as much fun as we've had, go for it, you know. Have fun, be safe enough.
Yeah, I hope that, you know, when we do have kids, that they get the same opportunities we had. I mean, because all of us, I mean, who thought, you know, growing up that, that, you know, water skiing would take you around the world. So, and like Jared said, just to, if they have just half as much fun as we've had, you know, I hope they do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get lucky, grow up on a lake. I mean, that's, there's a lot to practice it and working hard, but man, a lot of us got lucky. We had parents who supported us, and we're definitely all going to do the exact same thing for them.
For sure. Our kids are, they're in the thick of it for sure. They're born into it. They're going to, that's what they're going to live for sure. If we have a choice, that's what they're going to live. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. The other day I went to go to the bathroom, I sit down on a toilet seat, and those firecrackers that you throw on the ground and they pop, my daughter Skylar put a shitload of them underneath the toilet seat. From the tree, but our kids are going to be doing all the same stuff for sure. They're going to be doing all the same stuff skiing. It's kind of crazy. Like nowadays you got a bunch of girls doing flips off the ramp and stuff, which is unbelievably awesome. But definitely all our daughters are going to do that 110% for sure. So just paving the way, right?
Yeah.
Homeboy. So
yeah, I'm scared of that. He's going to be doing triple gainers. That kid is, you know, yes,
he is. He's awesome. Such a shithead. He's so, he's so awesomely bad. It's such an awesome experience to watch him be bad.
Well, good stuff. Well, hey guys, this was freaking amazing. This is our favorite podcast, hands down. You guys are amazing. Looking forward to hanging out in the beer tent at the Mercury Invite in a few weeks with you all. In Janesville, back to beer tent season for us all. Thanks for being on this podcast.
Hey guys, I gotta go. I gotta go take a Gino.
See you guys soon.
Holy crap! That was hilarious. That was really fun. Really good stuff from those guys. Kind of what I expected, but wow.
Yeah, and that was awesome. I think that's it's probably what we all needed after a pandemic year and not getting together with all of our ski show friends and family and being able to kick back and just listen to those stories.
They have so many stories. It's crazy. Like, it's never ending. We could have gone on for hours.
This could have been a mini series. And yeah, for sure.
And maybe we'll have them back. Maybe there'll be a whole new set of stories after this summer, but
another season, you bet.
I mean, these guys are great friends of ours. They're, you know, as we said in the interview, they're great family men, great, brothers, friends, comrades. They're the full deal, and they're really fun, and that was cool, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with those guys come tournament season here.
Yeah, I mean, having the opportunity with to ski with them, not only worlds, but well, I don't ski, but you know, other going to China, things like that. Just when we ask the question, who's the best teammate? I mean, all of those guys. I mean, they're great teammates. I mean, just awesome skiers, great guys on and off the water. So just a lot of fun. And, as an announcer, could always, if Wonder Lake's in the act, you could always count that one and come back to the beach. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Awesome. Great episode today. Thank you to our sponsors, The Board Shop. Get your gear at bswake.com. And Flyman Skis, once again, custom-made jump skis, featherboard swivel skis. Get all your stuff at flymanskis.com.
Thanks again to all of our listeners. This is Matt and Adam, and this is The Ski Show.
Thank you for listening to The Ski Show, the ultimate show ski podcast with Matt and Adam. We're the only show specifically dedicated to all things show ski. If you have feedback or ideas for future shows, hit us up on social media or email us at theskishowpodcast@gmail.com.